Section 4.1, the blood sugar insulin process, carbs, and GI of foods. These days, insulin has gotten a bad rap, since high levels of it within the body tend to promote fat storage and make it harder to use body fat for energy. However, insulin is also a very anabolic hormone that can help shuttle nutrients into your muscle cells and promote muscle recovery. Here's a quick synopsis of how the blood sugar and insulin process work and what you should know to take advantage of this for building lean muscle and or losing stubborn body fat. When you eat carbohydrates, they are broken down into your system and contribute to your blood sugar level depending on how much carbohydrate you ate and how fast it was digested. Your pancreas secretes insulin to remove the excess sugar from your blood and deposit it into fat stores upon conversion. Muscle glycogen stores, or liver glycogen stores. If your muscle and liver glycogen stores are already full, the excess blood sugar will be stored as fat. If your muscle glycogen stores are depleted, such as after an intense workout, insulin secreted in response to a high carbohydrate meal will push the excess blood sugar and other nutrients into your muscle cells. This is one time when insulin is very good and helps promote muscle protein synthesis. Recovery. The degree to which ingested carbs will raise your blood sugar depends on the quantity of carbs you ate and how fast they are digested. Factors such as the quantity of fiber, the carbohydrate source contained, along with how much protein and fat you ate in combination with the carbs, all affect how quickly the carbs are digested. Generally speaking, the more unrefined and fibrous the carbohydrate source, and the more protein and fat eaten with the meal, the slower the carbohydrate will be digested, and the lower and more steady the blood sugar and insulin response. Slow and steady carbohydrate sources are ideal because they give you steady energy levels, reduce cravings, and allow your body to utilize fat for energy in addition. More heavily refined starches and sugars, where the fiber has been removed, will be digested much more quickly and cause a higher blood sugar spike and subsequent crash after insulin has done its job. People who eat a lot of refined processed carbohydrates, such as white bread, low-fiber cereals, candies, and other high-sugar foods, typically go through these cycles of blood sugar spikes and crashes, which causes them to crave more carbohydrates and leads to body fat gain. A little-known fact is that carbs are not the only food substrate that can promote an insulin response. Large doses of certain free-form amino acids and quickly digested proteins such as whey protein can also trigger an insulin response. The only thing you really need to know in regard to protein triggering an insulin response is that the best time to use whey protein is after a workout. While your protein sources at any other time of the day should be slower digesting proteins such as eggs, meat, cottage cheese, or casein blends, if a meal replacement powder. Anyway, back to the glycemic index and blood sugar. One of the methods that was devised originally to help diabetics manage their blood sugar properly was the glycemic index, GI, of foods. The GI basically categorizes foods, generally carbohydrate sources, into low, moderate, or high on the GI scale. I won't get into the specific numbers of the GI scale because I don't feel that's important. Basically, foods that raise your blood sugar quickly will have a higher GI, and foods that raise your blood sugar slowly and to a lower degree will have a lower GI. Examples of foods with high GIs are white rice, white bread, white potatoes, low-fiber cereals such as cornflakes, Rice Krispies cereals, sugars except fructose, ice cream, bananas, cooked carrots, candy, cakes, and other baked goods, and any other refined carbohydrates where the fiber has been removed. Note, even many so-called whole grain breads and cereals don't really contain much whole grain at all. It's a technicality that legally allows food manufacturers to label something whole grain, even if it only contains a small amount of whole grains. You need to look for 100% whole grain. Or better yet, look at the actual number of grams of fiber the product contains per total gram of carbohydrates. When it comes to breads, I actually recommend minimizing them as much as possible if your goal is fat loss. The only breads I truly recommend in moderation are sprouted grain breads. Ezekiel is a popular brand of sprouted grain breads. The sprouting of the grains in these breads is important, and it reduces the anti-nutrients such as phytates that are typically found in unsprouted grains. Examples of foods with lower GIs are most dairy products, most fruits and vegetables, whole unrefined grains and sprouted grains, sweet potatoes, barley, beans, and most other higher fiber carbohydrate sources. Of course, foods that are mostly protein and or fat will have the lowest GI of all foods since they have very little effect on blood sugar. The GI was originally meant to help diabetics know that if they ate more high GI foods, they were most likely going to need more insulin because they would have a quicker and higher blood sugar response. The thought was that if they focused on lower GI foods, they could manage their diabetes better by always maintaining lower and more stable blood sugar levels. This concept has also crossed over into the fitness industry with many diets promoting that you focus on lower GI foods in order to lose body fat. Take note that the one time of day that you can benefit from eating high GI foods would be immediately after a workout, to promote an insulin release and replenish your muscle glycogen stores that were depleted during the intense workout, instead of being stored as body fat. While the GI is basically a good thing to understand if you want to lose body fat, there are problems with it and reasons why it can be misleading. First, the GI of food is measured using a set dose where the quantity of each individual food must be the same. Therefore, while a certain food like cooked carrots may have high GI, you'd have to eat an unrealistically large quantity of carrots to get enough carbohydrates to cause a significant blood sugar response. This is one reason I contend that the GI is not that important if the quantity of the carbohydrates are relatively low. It's just not logical to think that something as healthy as carrots or bananas, which provide many important nutrients for the body, are going to stifle your weight loss efforts. Unless, of course, you overdo the quantity. Also, another reason I contend that the GI of individual foods should not be relied on too heavily is because how you combine your food into a meal controls what type of blood sugar response you get from the meal. For example, if you combine a higher GI food such as a banana into a meal with portions of protein and healthy fats and or additional fibrous food, you're not going to get as quick of a blood sugar response as if you ate the banana alone. So in essence, my advice is to not get too bogged down with worrying about the GI of foods. Rather, focus on combining healthy carbohydrate sources with lean protein sources and healthy fats. For example, you can make a great meal out of that aforementioned banana by slicing it into a serving of cottage cheese and some almonds or walnuts. Also, you can generally assume that the more fiber a product contains, the slower your blood sugar responds to that food. You generally want to look for products that contain at least 1.5 to 2 grams or more of fiber per each 10 grams of total carbohydrates. So if a carbohydrate source contains 30 grams of total carbohydrates, it would be best if that carb source had at least 5 grams or more of fiber. Whole unrefined grains, sprouted grain products are best. Fruits, vegetables, sweet potatoes, and beans are the best sources of carbohydrates to maintain a healthy diet. If you are really serious about getting super lean as fast as possible, an advanced strategy is to try to get most of your carbohydrates from vegetables and fruits, and limit grain-based carbohydrates as much as possible. The fact is, even though whole grains are better than refined grains, grain-based carbohydrates are typically much more calorie-dense per unit volume compared to vegetables and fruits. I've found with many of my clients over the years, they've dropped body fat much faster once they reduced the amount of grains that they ate and instead got most of their carbs from veggies and fruits. Here's just one simple example of how you can do this for a typical pasta meal. Instead of having pasta with sauce and meat, have a huge mixture of sautéed vegetables with sauce and meat by substituting more vegetables in place of the pasta. Another example of this would be instead of having cereal and eggs or toast and eggs as breakfast in the morning, you can have veggies with your eggs. Eliminate the cereal or toast, and have a grapefruit as the carb source for your breakfast.